Let's just open in a word of prayer. Our God, our Father, we thank you for your well-beloved Son, the Son of thy love, the darling of thy bosom. We thank you that in your heart you ever delighted and desire to set him before us as the object for our affections, that he would be the one who would be our all and in all, the one who is the blessed and only begotten of the Father, the one who is full of grace and truth. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the greatness and the glory and the wonder of thy person and of thy work, as we've been able to consider this morning in just a little detail. And may, Lord, our hearts ever be opened to appreciate and to comprehend more and more of the greatness and the glory of thy person and work. And now as we look to thee for this next session, we ask you, Lord, for liberty and help, that thou might also once again be set before us as the object of our affections as we look off unto Jesus and him only. We ask your blessing, and we look to thee in your worthy name. Amen.
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 We've had the delight this morning to have the glories of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ set before us, both in his person and his work. And I'm thinking of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the Corinthians that, and he says to them, he would desire to know nothing amongst them save Jesus Christ and him crucified, his person and his work. And now this afternoon, as we begin this third lecture, it is to gain an appreciation of our position that we have in Christ Jesus. And as we would set this theme before us, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke again in chapter 10, to the familiar story that we have of Martha and Mary at the end of chapter 10. I'll just read those verses. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." I'll repeat that. "She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful, or thou art worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" And I'd like to concentrate this afternoon a little bit on the position that Mary takes up here when the Lord Jesus comes into the house of Martha. And as we read here in verse 39, Mary also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And notice the position as we've been meditating upon the feet of the Lord Jesus. And notice the position that Mary takes up. She takes up a position at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And her occupation is what the Lord Jesus would have to say to her. She takes up a position at his feet, and she listens to, she heard his word. Tony brought before us, the emphasis or the definition of the word appreciation. And I think here we see in a practical way that definition worked out in Mary as she takes up her position at the feet of the Lord Jesus in an appreciation of whose feet she sat at. And she sat at his feet here as a learner, desiring to hear what he had to say unto her. And so her occupation was with her Lord Jesus. And what an occupation that she has. And notice how here, as we see Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus, I want us to understand that her heart is satisfied as her occupation and appreciation of the one at whose feet that she sat. Her heart is satisfied. But it's not only her heart that is the heart that is satisfied, but it's also the heart of the Lord Jesus is satisfied. His heart is revealed to her, and his heart is satisfied in having won the recipient of the love that he would have for her to be sitting at his feet and enjoy the relationship, the fellowship that would be shared together as he would share the word with her, as he would open up to her, as on the road to Emmaus, the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And so it was for an appreciation of his heart and her heart. Both hearts have come to a satisfaction of the relationship and fellowship that is enjoyed when Mary takes up a position at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And notice how the Lord Jesus says in response to Martha that one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part. This is the way of blessing, young people. The way of blessing is to be sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus and to hear his word. And then the Lord Jesus can say, and Mary has chosen that good part. She had found an opportunity to be sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She seizes the opportunity, and it is the way of blessing that rejoices her heart. And the promise that it shall not be, that good part shall not be taken away from her. You know, when we look at the life of Mary in the three times in scripture that she's mentioned, each and every time we find her at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She truly had an appreciation of the person of her Lord and her Savior. If you turned to John chapter 11, where we have Lazarus who died and was buried, and Mary comes to the Lord Jesus, and we find her at the feet of the Lord Jesus, weeping as a mourner. And what does she learn? She learns that the Lord Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And then if you go to chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, you find again that the Lord Jesus is in the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Mary is again at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And what is she doing at the feet of the Lord? She is anointing his feet with spikenard, very precious, very costly. And the house is filled with the odor of the ointment. She is sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus as a worshiper. She is sitting in Luke 10 as a learner, in John chapter 12 as a mourner, and in John chapter 11 as a mourner, and in John chapter 12 as a worshiper. And she is in full appreciation of the one who has loved her. And that love has drawn her, as we've been speaking about, from Solomon, the book of Song of Solomon, the bride drawn by the bridegroom. This was the love that had drawn her, and she then could respond to that love and anoint his feet with spikenard, very costly, and it satisfies the heart of the Lord Jesus. This is the way of blessing. This is the position, an appreciation for the position at the feet of the Lord Jesus, in his presence, which is the way of blessing. And now you could say to me, you could say or consider the fact that, okay, this was good for Mary. Lord Jesus, as we've heard already in the first lecture in John chapter 1, he comes into this world, the eternal Son who has become Son of Man and now come into this world to walk as man amongst men and to reveal unto us the Father and all his love and all his grace and all the glories of the Father. And here he is physically in the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And they could sit at his feet. That was good for them. And it is the way of blessing. But what about us today? Is the Lord Jesus here? And this is the question, really, that the Apostle Paul takes up in the book of the Ephesians to show to us that, yes, this way of blessing, this way is God's way to be at the feet of Jesus, to be where he is in his presence. And here he shows us in Ephesians, and let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And just quickly go through these scriptures and the desire to set before you here simply the outline. There is so much in this epistle, but look at chapter 2 to begin with. And in these first three verses, we find here that man is acting according to his nature, and he is in a position that is outside of relationship with God. And where is his position? Notice verse 1. You who are dead in trespasses and sins. This is our position. Dead. Dead men. Lifeless, spiritually lifeless to approach unto God because sin had separated us. And in verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And here we have man in the flesh acting according to his nature and walking in a life under, walking according to the course of this world, this age, as we have in verse 2, according to the prince of the power of the air, the authority, Satan, and was fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Nothing for God and lifeless towards him. This is our condition outside of Christ, outside of the grace that has been shown to us, that was expounded to us in the second lecture. And this is our position and condition without Christ. Then verse 4, but God. Young people, when you see these two words in scripture, pause and consider. Because now we've had what has come before, and now we get God's side. We have what man is in the flesh, what man is by nature, and now we're going to see God acting according to his nature and what he is going to do towards us unworthy objects of his divine love and grace. But God, most blessed words, but God, because we were lifeless and hopeless, but God, he has a plan and he has a purpose. And that purpose is all fulfilled in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us in verse 4. This is God in his character. God is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God, who would act according to his nature towards us unworthy objects, is acting in verse 4. And then notice verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, this is verse 1, 2, and 3 taken up. Even when we were dead, when we were without Christ, when we were without God in this world. Yes, even when we are in such a position and such a condition outside of relationship with him, even when you were dead, he hath quickened, or he has made us alive together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved. Here in verse 5, we have the condition, our natural condition is changed. And this is when we come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When that work of grace through salvation, salvation through grace has been accomplished in my heart, and I have come into the good of the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, it is grace moving towards me, unworthy to receive it, but his grace that is greater than our sin, he has now moved towards us, and our condition is changed. Verse 5, and then we come to verse 6, and he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Here our position is changed. We've gone from verse 1, dead in trespasses and sins. We've gone from the graveyard. We've gone from the place of death. And in verse 6, he has raised us up together. He has made us sit together. Verse 5, he has quickened us. He has given us life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all old things have passed away. All things have become new. This is new creation, life in Christ. The condition has changed. In verse 6, the position has changed. He has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our position is based on the position of the person of our representative. Our representative is the Lord Jesus Christ. And where is the Lord Jesus Christ? God hath raised him, the glory of the Father. He has been raised by the glory of the Father from the dead, Romans chapter 6. Peter, as he would begin to speak in Acts chapter 2, and as he points to those around him and he says, by wicked hands, you have crucified and slain this one, but God has raised him up and made him both Lord and Christ. And this is what the heart of the Apostle Paul is here, that we would come to an understanding to know that our position now in Christ as raised with him, that we would come to understand this position by faith. And notice the prayer of Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 as you look at verse 17 and down through the chapter, but just to highlight a couple of points, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him. This is the full real appreciation of him. And it comes here as we go through these scriptures, the appreciation of the position that he is in, raised by the glory of the Father, as we'll see, and we are raised with him, and that we take up a position in his presence, raised in the heavenly places. Verse 18, the eyes of your heart's understanding. We've spoken a lot about love. God is love. And now this response of love, that it's a heart condition, not just a mind, not just knowledge, but that my heart is engaged in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I have eyes, the eyes of my heart are being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what God's purposes are in a day to come, in that eternal day that we will be before him in love, as we'll see in a moment. And as we, the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Notice the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, who have come to know Christ as our Savior, have come to the understanding and the knowledge by faith that now the same power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead and to seat him, the same Jesus who God has made both Lord and Christ, who is seated at his own right hand, This is the same power that has been active to usward, to you and I. That we were in the heart and the mind of God in eternity past, and that we would be brought into this place of blessing, raised up with Christ to be seated with Him in the heavenly places. So the question might be asked, well, how do we get there? How do we get there? The answer is we don't. He's already put us there. There's nothing that we can do. It's all based on the person and the work of Christ, and that God has been glorified in Him, and that He has raised Him, and we are seen in Him. He, as our representative, seated in the heavenlies at Christ's right hand on high. Yes, it is all based on the fact that He has done this, and there's nothing that we can do to bring us into such a place, such a glorious place in the heavenlies in Christ. And as Paul begins this epistle, you know, this is really what was on his heart. As he begins to write, his heart is full, and he really starts to write this epistle, and he just lets the Spirit of God flow through him as we go back to the beginning of chapter 1, and to give expression to all what was in the heart of God in eternity past concerning His Son and concerning you and I, who would be blessed and redeemed and brought into this place of blessing through His Son. And this is verse 3, and I'll begin there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Praise be unto God. Who could have thought of such a plan? But the thoughts came, as you have in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It came, it was in His heart, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the very source of our blessings were in His heart. And then it says, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. What was in His heart? That He had blessings. What kind of blessings? Spiritual blessings. And this is in contrast, just to make this clear, contrast to the blessings that were promised to the children of Israel. They were promised earthly blessings. They were promised blessings that would flow from this earth, that they were obedient to God, kept His commandments and laws, and were faithful to Him. There would be a blessing here in this world. For us, the blessings are spiritual. As you see, as we just go through this portion, that there's the blessings that we have in Christ and our position in Him. These are spiritual blessings. And how many are there? All. That little word, all. Not some. He's not reserving some for another time or another day. No, God has opened the treasure chest of His heart of love in blessing to those who He sees to delight in, you and I. Amazing thought. And that He would bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, in the person of our representative. And notice here in verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. You know, young people, and each one of us, you and I were known to the heart of God before there was an earth to walk on, before this world was created, before the universe was in place. He knew you and He knew me. And He has chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundations of this world. That's the very beginning of our blessing in an eternity past. And where does it go? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. This is now brought into relationship, as we'll see here in the next verse, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ, to be brought into divine relationship as children, sons of God, and joint heirs with Christ, and that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And that is in a coming day and in all of its fullness. So His thoughts towards us for blessing were from eternity past to eternity come, and they were all fulfilled and brought about and purposed in the person of His Son, His well-beloved, and that we are brought into position in Him. What a glorious thought that we are the recipients of such blessing. But not only that we are the recipients of such blessing, but it delights the heart of God to act towards us according to His nature of love. And therefore He blesses us to bring us into that realm of love, that we might be holy, separated, and without blame, purified, cleansed. The person and work of Christ, as we've had set before us already, before Him in love. Yes, in that sphere of love. And all of this in verse 5, according to the good pleasure of His will, not according to our need. You see, our need was that we were dead in trespasses and sins and needed a Savior. And as far as we're concerned, we probably would be fine with salvation, and now I'm saved, and it's an insurance policy and nothing more. But not as far as God is concerned. He delights to bless, and He would have us before Him in love. And so therefore, it's not according to our need, but it's according to His good pleasure. He delights to bless, and it satisfies His heart. And what is the response will be like Mary in John chapter 12, at the feet of the Lord Jesus, in full appreciation of Him, anointing His feet with spikenard, that the praise and glory would arise unto Him to satisfy His heart. And the room is filled because there's a testimony of the glory and the greatness of the person and the work of Christ that fills the room. Yes, it is according to His good pleasure, the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. His grace that is greater than our sin, wherein He hath accepted us in the beloved of the Father. God has accepted us in the person of His well-beloved Son, in the person of our representative. We are now by faith set in the heavenlies in Christ at His feet to enjoy all the blessings now today, even though still physically in this wilderness scene, to enjoy what He has prepared for those who love Him. What a place of blessing that we can rejoice that all of this was in the heart of God before the foundations of this world. May we ever come into a better appreciation as we sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus of the position that we have been brought into, this elevated position in Christ on high at the right hand of God, to enjoy that place as sons of the blessings, the spiritual blessings that have been bestowed on us for His glory, to the glory of His grace for our blessing. Oh, may the Lord encourage us, and may He bless His word.